I invite you all to turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. We've heard these words in the New Testament lesson reading. But turn there so we can study them carefully and to see some of the verses that come around. We see these verses come after, of course, verses 11 to 13. I don't expect you to remember this, but I think about 6 or 7 weeks ago when I preached here, I preached on verses 11 to 13. We saw this saying where it's Paul had written to Timothy saying, "This saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." Picking up on these words, he says in verse 14, "Remind them of these things." So as we get there, we can think back to those verses, verses 11 to 13. A few years ago, I saw a video. It was a video of Christians who were receiving a Bible for the first time in their own language. I don't know if you've ever seen a video like this, but it was so moving. It just struck my heart. The joy that they had was unspeakable. They were weeping tears of joy as they received these scriptures for the first time in their own language. It was such a reminder to us of how precious the Word of God is. When you have instant access to something every day, anytime you want it, you could forget how precious it is. But the Word of God is a treasure. It's a treasure beyond all compare. Now, it's not the type of treasure we should put in a treasure chest and leave to the side. It's not like your grandmother's fine china, right, that no one ever ate off of. It's more like the treasure that a farmer would have for precious seeds, that they might plant them in the ground and that they might grow and produce a harvest. The Word of God is like that. It's a treasure that we ought to plant, like a precious seed that we plant in our souls, that we nourish, that we seek, that we might grow in the grace of God and become more like Christ. The Word is a treasure. If we lose our sense of this treasure, of how nourishing and wonderful the Word of God is, what effect will that produce in our lives? What effect will that produce in our church? Well, it's not hard to imagine. It's, again, a lot like a garden. If you don't plant seeds in it, then quickly weeds will grow. And in our own lives, if we don't fill our hearts with the gospel, we'll turn and look for other gospels. And Paul even writes about this in this letter of 2 Timothy. He talks about people who have wandered away from the truth, have wandered off into myths. They've taken the gospel, they've replaced it with a lie. We need to cherish the gospel and sow it in our hearts that our hearts don't become full of the weeds, of the thorns and the thistles that would choke our faith. Our text for today are words that Paul wrote to Timothy, guiding him and guiding the church, guiding us, how we can keep our lives fixed and focused on the precious Word of God. We have 4 points from this text this morning, so listen for these 4 points. Our first point is this: keep reminding yourself of the gospel. Keep reminding yourself of the gospel. Look at verse 14. He just starts with these words: remind them of these things. Of what things? Well, the words I just read to you in verses 11 to 13 are part of what he's probably indicating to them when he says, remind them of these things. We saw in those words just the basic truths, some of the basic truths of the gospel, that we have died with Christ, therefore we will live with him. If we endure to the end, we will reign with him. We never want to forget that. We see this warning there: if we deny him, he will deny us. And we see an assurance that God always remains faithful, even when we are faithless, that God cannot deny himself. We need to remember these things always. Cherish these truths. Remind ourselves of them. And it's not just the sense of give ourselves a quick reminder, but of keep reminding them. And we ought to keep reminding ourselves. Keep bringing these truths to mind because we are sanctified in the truth. All of us need to have daily reminders of the basic gospel truths because the gospel shapes our lives and we're so quick to forget. This concept is even back a few verses in verse 8. Do you see verse 8? Whenever Paul tells Timothy, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel. He was telling Timothy in that verse, Timothy, remind yourself of Jesus Christ. Make it a point to remember Jesus. Remember him. That is the fountain of your life. Don't become disconnected from it. You need that well of life-giving water every day. When you go to work, you need to remember that you're working for the Lord and not for men. When you go to school, the same thing. Whenever someone wrongs you, you need to remember that Christ has forgiven you of all of your sin and he has called you then to forgive others. When you're tempted to sin, you need to remember that I'm a child of God. I've been created in Christ Jesus for good works. And let that guide you, direct your path. When you fall into sin, you need to remember Christ. He is the propitiation for all our sins. And we know we struggle with these things every day, so we need Christ every day. Remind yourself of Christ every day. He says that to Timothy, and he tells Timothy to remind the church of it. A pastor's work is to continually remind the church of the gospel. I need to keep telling you the gospel. You need pastors to keep reminding you. If I'm not reminding you of the gospel, I'm not doing my job. 1 Corinthians 2:2, Paul tells the Corinthian church, I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. He didn't want them to get lost and forget the gospel. He warns them in Galatians that if a pastor or preacher shows up preaching a different gospel, let them be accursed. The gospel is life-giving. It's not just the pastor's job to remember the gospel. We need to remember it all ourselves. Pastors and mature believers are called to help us, and we all need help, even the pastors and mature believers do. That, I mean, that's part of being mature, is recognizing your need and turning to others, seeking help. So we all need it, and we all need to rest our hope of salvation 100% on Christ alone. So we should be making it a priority to bring him to mind when we wake up, when we go to sleep, throughout the day, setting time aside to read the scriptures, to pray, and not to see it as a chore, but as nourishment. I mean, if you drink a glass of water, is that a chore or is it nourishing your soul? The scriptures are nourishing to us as bread and water, just as this feast we think of that we will enjoy later. And you can think of some of the benefits that reminding ourselves of the gospel has. First, it enables us to go in the right direction. We can't expect to live in a way that expresses praise to Christ if we don't even remember him, if we've forgotten about him as we're so quick to do. And the act of remembering divine truth, it imparts grace to us because God's word, God's gospel is a means of grace to us. So it helps us to go in the right direction, relying on the grace of God. But it also has this other benefit. It keeps us from going in the wrong direction, as I had just said earlier. If you don't fill your mind with good things, they'll be full of something else, and it's probably not going to be good. When a church loses its focus on the gospel, it's quickly going to lose its focus on its mission, and then will lose its sense of identity in Jesus Christ. How do churches end up so focused on other things rather than on knowing Christ and sharing Christ? And I think it just starts with this simple failure for us to remind ourselves of Christ and everything that he represents. It's true with churches. It's true with individuals. Let's not forget Christ. Let's remember him because God always remembers his people. Keep reminding yourself of the gospel. Second lesson we learn from these verses is this, number two, don't quarrel with one another about words. Look what he says in verse 14. Remind them of these things and charge them before God not to quarrel about words. And he tells us what that would lead to. He says, which does no good, but only ruins the hearers. So we see, I want to break this down for us. We see this charge. Then we see that he charges them not to quarrel. And third, that he charges them not to quarrel about words. Just thinking of this charge, what exactly does it mean to charge the people? Well, Paul isn't telling Timothy to give the church a suggestion. He's telling Timothy to give the church a command. Charge them before God. That's an official sort of command. That Timothy might be the messenger, but the authority and the words really come from God. God charges his church not to quarrel about words. So we must receive this command as people who are standing before the throne of God, receiving a command from that throne. God will hold us accountable when he gives us a charge. This is a charge not just for the people in Timothy's day, it's a charge for us as well. Let's not quarrel about words. Second, let's focus on the word quarrel. They're charged not to quarrel. He is to speak to the church and tell the people of the church not to quarrel with one another. There's one time, my mother just reminded me of this story, that she told me this story about, we were in a church and there was a big quarrel about whether the carpet should be replaced with blue carpet or red carpet. That's not a good thing to quarrel about. And sadly, that church doesn't exist anymore. We cannot quarrel with one another. We must not quarrel with one another. That's not to say we're not going to have any disagreements with one another, but it's important how we handle those disagreements. Paul says a little bit later in this same chapter, he says to Timothy in verse 24, "And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome." Think of petty quarrels. It's no good getting into petty quarrels with others, especially with other Christians. How does he say we should live? He says we should be kind to everyone, patiently enduring evil, able to teach, he says, and correcting his opponents with gentleness. We must be gentle, kind, and patient. Whenever somebody wrongs you, how should you be towards them? You should be kind. If they're quarreling with you, then you should be patient with them. If they don't understand, you should teach them. And if they have made a grave error, you should correct them. How? With gentleness. This is how the church is to be. We are to be kind, loving, not quarrelsome. Now, Jesus Christ did turn over the tables of the moneylenders, right? So there are times in the church when we must fight for the truth, take a stand for the truth. We might have to oppose and stand firm, but that's not the sense here. Jesus never quarreled with other people and didn't quarrel with them over words, and we must be like Christ, not quarreling with others. It's a poor witness to the gospel when other people see Christians fighting over the color of the carpet. But it's a testimony, on the other hand, when people outside the church see Christians forgiving one another, loving one another, caring for one another, serving one another, being patient with one another, working through issues, resolving, not holding grudges. That shows the world that we are the disciples of Jesus Christ because we're showing the love of Christ. We're showing that we've received love and forgiveness and that we're extending it to others. When we're quarreling, we're not acting that way. If we disagree with our brothers, we must disagree with them in love. And the last thing he says here is that in this second point is, don't quarrel about words. Don't quarrel about words. What does he mean by that? Well, he isn't talking about the gospel or standing up for the gospel, because we know from time to time we need to take a stand and fight for the words of the gospel. And Paul did the same in his ministry. We read about it in Galatians. We read about it in 2 Timothy. If a preacher stood up and said, well, all paths lead to God, then you should stop him. You should say, that's not true. You shouldn't say, well, let's not quarrel about words. You should say, this is the gospel we're talking about. That's not what he's talking about when he says, don't quarrel about words. You can think of it a little bit more like, you ever get into an argument with your sibling or your spouse, and then you say, what are we even arguing about? And there's just really no substance to anything you're saying. You're just quarreling about words. That could be a sense of what Paul's saying here. Don't get into petty quarrels over words. The other possibility that I want us to consider is that he's speaking especially about false teaching in some way. So we just see a couple verses later in verse 16, he says, avoid irreverent babble. He says that this type of talk will spread like gangrene. He talks about Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have swerved from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already happened and they were upsetting the faith of some. I think he could be saying, when he says, charge them before God not to quarrel about words, is don't let this quarrel about false teaching come into the church. Don't quarrel with these false teachers publicly, because you're just going to be giving them a platform to spread their heresy. So shut it down. Remove it from the church. And if people in the church want to talk about, well, maybe or maybe not, the resurrection already happened, don't say that's not even worth quarreling over. We're not going to quarrel over those words. We're going to stand firm on the truth. And that's relevant for us. Sometimes we could feel the allure to want to know about false gospels and false teachings and false heresies. Maybe you see some book on the shelf in the library or in the bookstore about like the Gnostic gospels and Christian cults, and you can be like get drawn in. You want to study them. Those things are worthless. They're going to lead us away from the truth, and they can get us into these types of quarrels. You might see some book that says something like the Jesus they don't want you to know. Stay away from that stuff. Don't get entangled in it. Live at peace in the church, and let's stay focused on the true gospel that we don't get dragged into the mess. Don't quarrel about words with one another. That's our second point. Third point here. Prepare yourself to stand before God. Prepare yourself to stand before God. Look at the text again. 2 Timothy verse 15, chapter 2, verse 15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. And there's a footnote that says that is one approved after being tested. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. He's telling Timothy to labor hard at his ministry with the thought in mind of standing before Christ. What do we want to hear when we stand before Christ? What does every Christian want to hear when we finally stand before Christ in glory? We want to hear Christ say, well done, good and faithful servant. Don't we? Isn't that what we want to hear? So labor with that in mind. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. Now, when we talk about presenting ourselves to God, the scriptures give us different ways to think about it. Every single day, we should present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, right? So we come before God every day. You say, take my life, Lord. Let it be pure and consecrated to thee. We think of taking up our cross every day and following Christ. So we're coming before God and we're presenting ourselves to him. And we also think of presenting ourselves before God in another way. We think of at the very last day, at the day of the final resurrection when Christ returns, and we'll stand before him in judgment as all the world will stand before him in judgment, longing to hear those words of affirmation before him. We want to live our lives in light of that day unto eternity, preparing ourselves for this final day. And we know the only way we can stand before the throne of God in glory and be justified is by the justifying blood of Jesus Christ. So the only way we can stand is through faith. We trust in Jesus Christ, who gives us his faith, who justifies us and prepares us to stand before the throne. But there is this earthly element that every day we should be preparing ourselves. Now, we talked about preparing ourselves, presenting our bodies as living sacrifices every day, and we've talked about presenting ourselves before the throne of God at the end, and there's a connection between those two things. Because if you want to be ready to stand before God in judgment on the last day, what should you be doing today? You should be presenting yourself to God every day as a living sacrifice. Charles Spurgeon wrote some helpful words. He said something like this. He said, he who learns to die daily while he lives will find it no difficulty to breathe out his soul for the last time. Are you ready for death? If you were to die today, would you be ready? Well, the best way to be ready, first of all, to trust in Christ. Second of all, to die to Christ every day, to die with him and for him, taking up your cross daily and following after Jesus. Stand before God every day in prayer. Give an account of yourself every day. Ask him for forgiveness every day. Confess your sins. Receive his forgiving grace. Commit yourself to serve him every day that you have to live in this body. And ask him for guidance, for opportunities to serve others and to bring him glory. You won't regret it on that final day of judgment. Our fourth and final point from this text is this. Handle God's word with care. Handle God's word with care. He says in verse 15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. And this is building off of what we just saw of presenting yourself before God. If you're a pastor and you want to present yourself before God as one approved, then what do you have to do? You have to handle God's word with care. It is the calling of a pastor and of a preacher to rightly handle the word of truth. We're called to preach Christ and him crucified, preach the resurrection, indeed to preach the whole counsel of God, not to shrink back from any of it. God tells us how his word is to be handled. We're to preach it graciously, in grace and in truth. We're to preach it humbly. That a preacher shouldn't be exalting themselves or using the word to exalt themselves. If you think of Paul's words in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5, for what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. So the pastor, the preacher, is a servant who's serving you God's word. We're not to preach the word for shameful gain. He says in 2 Corinthians 2:17, for we are not like so many peddlers of God's word. There's many people that were peddling God's word for their own shameful gain. He says, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. That is how a pastor is to preach, and we will be held accountable for it. That we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. This is an important thing, to handle God's word with care. And an analogy for us could be, think of a pharmacist. Your doctor orders a prescription for you, sends it to the pharmacist. It's not the jobs of the pharmacist to innovate, right? What if the pharmacist says, well, I'm going to tinker with that prescription. I'm going to add a little bit. I'm going to take a little bit away. That's probably a serious crime. I sure hope it's a serious crime, right? We don't want that from our pharmacists. And God has prescribed his word to his people. It's the minister's job to deliver that word. It's not an easy thing to do. We need to study it carefully. We need to handle it carefully. We need to make it our aim to preach the words as you see them before you in the text. So as members of the church, it's your responsibility to call pastors and elders who rightly handle God's word. And you think of, this is an important context, I think, for this church, right? You're calling a pastor. Call a pastor who handles God's word with care. But all of us as Christians should always strive to rightly handle the word of truth. It's not just about pastors. It's for every Christian. So read the scriptures. Meditate upon them. Sit under the preaching of the word. Strive to bring your life into conformity with the word of God. If the word of God challenges you, as it should, or says something that makes you uncomfortable, as it will, don't try to change the word of God or to try to radically reinterpret it to get around that discomfort. Don't think that only some of the word is relevant to you and that other parts of it aren't. The scriptures, they're breathed out by God. They're profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that you might be complete and equipped for every good work. Let's not miss that or forget that. This word is life-giving to us. It's life-giving to us. Cherish it. And it brings us back to where we started, just remembering those people who were receiving the Bible for the first time in their own language. What a privilege it is for us to have scriptures that we can read in our own languages, that to have churches that we can attend in our own languages? There are people that have lived on the earth that never had access to these things. And we have this treasure beyond compare. Plant it in your heart. Water it. Make it grow. If you think to yourself, I really don't enjoy reading the scriptures, pray to God. Ask for him to give you that joy. And keep pressing into the scriptures, reading them, meditating on them, doing it in search of the living God. Memorize the scriptures. And we can trust God will cultivate in us more and more of a love for these things. And those words will guide us, direct us, and help us every day of our lives, that one day we might stand before him in glory and he might hear those wonderful words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. Lord, let us cherish it and not forget it. Let us not forget you. We pray, Lord, that we might live in honor of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We might live like we really believe it, that we really believe that these are the living words of the living God. We pray, God, that you will strengthen us in your truth, build us up, humble us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.